Hello, I'm a Mac.
My fellow Americans, I'm a PC.
Why so official?
Well, some people are giving up on Vista Mac because it doesn't work the way they want it to. Other people are going back to XP.
Really? Downgrading?
Yes, but we PCs won't give up. If your printer isn't compatible with Vista, I say, buy a new printer. If Mac's new Leopard operating system has dozens of new features, I say, ignore them. Ask not what Vista can do for you. Ask what you can buy for Vista.
Wow, you're really committed to this.
Oh, not really. I switched back to XP 3 weeks ago. So much happier.
Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's been banned from many London pubs for unprovoked bollocks attacks. Leander Caney is here.
Bollocks attacks, first time I've heard that phrase.
Well, having been the recipient of one, I'm surprised to hear you say that. Also joining us, the first time I saw his long beard in person, I thought Zeus himself had descended from on high. Turns out, it was just Buster Shiny.
Hey, just fat old Buster.
And you were wearing a toga, too, which was odd, because you were at the airport.
That was just my regular clothes.
Just your normal attire.
Kanye designed, yeah.
What a news week it's been. I absolutely was not expecting to be saying what I'm about to say, but in mere moments, we'll be talking about why Apple may be revealing new MacBooks and MacBook Pros at WWDC. Oh my goodness. This is the best news I've heard all year. We'll talk about that. And let's see, what else do we have on the docket here? We're going to talk a little bit more about this Apple standalone Siri smart speaker. We got some more rumors about this. And if you stay tuned till the end, Buster's going to be telling us five wacky and weird facts about the new Apple Park, aka the spaceship campus that Apple they're probably moving into it now, right? Didn't they say Tim Cook was moving into it in April and everyone else is kind of like starting to move into it now?
I don't know. It's still kind of incomplete or unfinished, so I don't think they have started yet.
So they're still behind.
I'm sure they'll make a big, thing
fanfare
about it when they do start. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have like a marching band and stuff.
Yeah. People accompanying Tim Cook to his office.
It's going to be like Noah leading animals into the ark. It's going to be very festive.
Do you think Tim Cook's going to be the first one to go in?
Oh, absolutely.
I kind of doubt that.
He probably won't allow anyone else to go in before himself.
I feel like he's not usually that self-important. But
yeah, I thought he would have been one of the last.
Yeah, you think? Maybe the last guy in. Yeah.
I think that's what he would have you believe. But I think everyone who works at Apple
really knows
if you go in before Tim Cook.
Yeah, right. He's going to run in, right? He's pushing everyone out of the way, just like a Black Friday sale. He's like, I want to get a window seat.
Get the hell out of my way, y'all. Getting pushed from behind as Tim Cook runs to the front.
But it said in that, we should talk about it later, right? But
What did it say? What?
Well, no private offices. That was one of the things I mentioned in that story, right?
No, Buster? I didn't read that.
Yeah, like he would have an office just like everybody else, pretty much.
Oh, but they're going to be
one of these pods.
Yeah, they're pods, but like it's very like I think open and supposed to be like what is that? Kind of like decentralized, I guess.
Wait. So no one is going to have like their own private office?
That's what it said, but it wasn't
not like a swanky office like most execs get where they have their own bathroom and.
But what about even like lower level plebeians? Like just regular employees. Do they get their own offices, or is everything just open? You just grab a pod and work.
I'm guessing everybody would be in one of those pods because that was the whole thing is built around like
weird
the pod idea. But
well, it's very strange because I mean, just from the perspective of they want to keep everything very secret. So
right,
I would imagine
there's a lot to unpack. We should talk about this later because actually the most interesting part about the thing that they actually did not cover at all.
Okay. Well, I think there's one more fact that's more interesting than that, but we'll talk about that at the very end.
I think you know what I'm going to say.
Wink, wink. Okay. So before we jump into this MacBook Pro news at WWDC, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Do you need a new website? I always recommend people check out squarespace.com. You can get set up with a 2-week free trial, build a website, see how you like it, And I use Squarespace. I pay for Squarespace. It's like the Apple of web hosts. They make everything so easy. You just go to squarespace.com. You pick a template. They have a ton of templates that you can sift through, choose your favorite. And then if you want, you can customize the entire thing to make it look uniquely yours. And it takes minutes to do. It's very easy. Everything is drag and drop. Or you could just publish that website and not mess with it at all and just insert all of your own like social media and all your own copy and stuff. And you'll have a website up and running in probably less than 5 minutes. It's really that easy. And it will look beautiful on every device that visits because Squarespace customizes your website to make it look great. Check it out yourself. Head to squarespace.com and sign up for a free trial. And like I said, play around with it. You can build a blog. You can do an e-commerce website. You can build a photo gallery. Their image galleries are the easiest image galleries I have ever used with any web host. They're so easy to build and maintain. And so is everything else at Squarespace. It's so easy to maintain that you'll actually maintain your website and you won't need anyone's help to do it. Squarespace.com, sign up for the free trial. And if you like what you have at the end of your two-week free trial, you can use code COLTCAST at checkout. And you will save 10% off your first order. Plus, if you order a year of service, you get a little bit more of a discount and you get a free domain name at squarespace.com. Okay, let's talk about these new MacBooks at WWDC. Man, this is good news. This is good news. And if this ends up being true, I think this might prove that Apple is indeed serious about making the MacBook Pro again and keeping it up to date and not just tossing us a few updates every couple of years as they've been doing. At least that's what it feels like. So let me just do the notables from this story and then we can talk about it. So first thing to note, Apple hasn't released new hardware at WWDC since 2013, but they are allegedly planning to unveil a new lineup of MacBooks and MacBook Pros, and the new machines, the MacBook Pros, will include Intel's new Kaby Lake processors. And this is a good thing because if you recall from when we were talking about when the MacBook Pro got launched before, they included Skylake processors, which were already almost a year old. And I was rolling my eyes hard at that because I found it hard to pay $3,000 for a laptop that had a one-year-old processor. Three new laptops may debut at WWDC, claims Bloomberg, citing people familiar with the matter. And they're saying that you might get a MacBook Pro and a 12-inch MacBook with new Intel chips. Apple is supposedly also considering updating the 13-inch MacBook Air, which we all thought they were going to discontinue because it doesn't really make sense to have an Air and a MacBook. But it's selling so well, it seems like they actually might keep it going. Buster, your thoughts on the story? Is this something that's exciting to you? Make you actually? Oh, you just got a MacBook Pro. You don't care.
Well, yeah, I did just get a MacBook Pro, but it's like the 2015 model, so I do care in that it'll be nice when these new ones are available in refurb prices and stuff, and I can buy one. Maybe I don't know. How big of a boost do you think the new chips are going to be?
Well, let me tell you, I have that information on hand. Oh, so according to all the information that I've gleaned from reading about Intel's different processors, this would be about a 15 to 20% boost in CPU power over the Skylake processors. And if they really wanted to make the fanboys cry, what they should do is they should upgrade to the Cannon Lake processors that actually aren't going to be released for another couple months. but you know, it's Apple. They can get their hands on the newest chips, right? I mean, Tim Cook can work that deal, I'm sure. And if they did that, then the new MacBook Pros would actually get another additional 15% boost over the Skylake processors. So at that point, you're looking at a Mac that's 30% faster than the one that's out now. And that would be amazing for people who have been clamoring for more horsepower like me. But if you had just bought a MacBook Pro, oh my gosh, this would be a sock in the gut for sure. Because you would be getting old tech at $3,000, you know.
Well, that is a good point, isn't it? I mean, these are coming right off the back of the, you know, like a very recent update. So
yeah,
kind of unusual.
I don't know. Like, the update was November last year, and it'd be June. I feel like Apple's done that before with spec bumps. I mean, they should be coming out with spec bumps like every 6 months to 8 months.
Right.
I feel
that's
like,
very true.
Know?
Yeah.
That's kind of why the MacBook Pro line's been sucky.
That's right. And it would suck to know that you're only going to have the newest technology for 6 months. It would. It makes it hard to spend $3,000 on a laptop knowing that it's going to be outdated in 6 months, which I think maybe one of the reasons why Apple doesn't do that. It gives them a longer product life cycle.
Is it really outdated? Like, it's not like, oh God, it's such a piece of shit now that it's old, you know?
I mean, it kind of is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of true.
I can't use this machine. It's not the most.
Yeah, I hate it. I got better looking at it.
They gotta give you enough time to have that deserved sense of elitism. You know, we were like, I have the best. I have the best. No one else has something better than me. The product I have is the best that Apple makes.
I just find that attitude just so exhausting all the time, you know, like, because you can never always be the best all the time. I mean, you can if you're rich and, like, obsessed with it, but.
Whatever. Yeah, I personally don't believe Apple is going to move to a 6 month product refresh. I think it's too fast. Even though they could, because Intel seems to be releasing, you know, new CPUs every 6 months, so they certainly could do that. I think a year is a good enough amount of time. They just, when they do it, they have to move to what's upcoming and not what's current. Like they did with the Skylake processors. I mean, like I said, they updated the Mac and they put the Skylake processors in at the end of their life. So you're buying a brand new machine, but the technology it's using is old hat. In the PC world, people are already starting to use the next generation of chips. And people, I think that people who love Apple are really good at sniffing out value. And they know when they're getting a good deal and they know when they're getting the shaft. And I think it pisses them off.
You don't think so? They pay a premium for a MacBook. Like, you can get way better specs in a PC. You're paying for... you're paying the Apple tax that we've called it forever, you know? Exactly. So I definitely don't think they sniff out good deals.
I think it may exist, but I don't think it's as big of a deal as... I don't think it's as much of a premium as people make it out to be.
Dude, we should definitely do a cost comparison sometime on like what you can get in a laptop for $1,500 on PC versus what you're going to get in a MacBook. I think it's going to be like 2 times more powerful the PC will be.
Yeah, I mean, this is like an argument as old as time, right? Ever since Apple has existed, I mean, their products are more expensive. We all know that, and I'm not saying that they're not more expensive than PC components, but when you take into account the quality of the components you're getting from Apple, I do wonder if you had a similarly spec'd PC with the same hardware, if you would be that much more than a PC. I think you would still be more. Because you're paying for the industrial design and the better software and all that. But I don't think it would be drastic.
Oh, it's pretty drastic.
Although paying $3,000 for a lap... in the premium laptops, I think it's definitely more significant. Because, I mean, paying $3,000 for a MacBook Pro... I mean, dude, that's kind of my threshold for a laptop. Like, I think probably like $2,300, $2,400 is like my max. And anything more than that, I'm really starting to question how much value I'm getting. And... with the new MacBook Pros being as expensive as they are, that was one of the reasons why I couldn't buy it. I was losing too many features. The hardware wasn't as fast as you could get in a PC. Anyway, I'm repeating myself. I've talked about all this before. So
yes.
So here's what it would take to get me excited about the MacBook Pro. So if they did Cannon Lake, I'm definitely in. If they do Kaby Lake, I'm probably in, but I would also like to see them do a price drop. What are the odds that you guys think that they'll drop the price $300? And give it a hardware bump. Leander, what do you think?
Zero.
You don't think they're going to drop it?
No.
Why not?
Because there's no way. You're living in some kind of dream world.
No, you make up
your own facts.
I'm making up my own facts. This is not unprecedented. Apple has, in the past, raised their prices, released something with brand new hardware, a new design, and then as it gets older, they decrease the price.
They decrease the price in the old models, not the new ones. Yeah. I bet they'll come out at exactly the same price points. That's Apple's MO.
The only thing they might drop the price point on would be like the Retina MacBook, I think, possibly. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that machine is like stupid expensive still compared to the MacBook Air. That's the only one I think they would do that on.
I think there is a chance that they will drop the price of this $300. And if they don't do it on this upgrade, I think they'll definitely do it on the next upgrade. And I don't think this price is going to last forever. It's just too much money, and too many people are bitching about it. And I think there was a huge pent-up demand for the MacBook Pro because it hadn't been updated in so long. And now that that has kind of come and gone, they're going to have to do something else in order to get people to stay interested. And I think this is a move to do that. I mean, clearly upgrading the components is one way to get people to remain interested. But at a certain point, they're also going to have to drop the price, I think. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. Yeah, could be wrong, but I'm probably
not. Apple doesn't believe in your opinion. Apple never drops prices just to drop prices. So...
They have. They have dropped prices on MacBook Pros in the past.
They've dropped prices, but they don't drop the price just for sales reasons. They drop price because they've found a way to make it cheaper in their supply chain.
Yeah. And in general, the prices have been coming down, haven't they, for machines. I mean, they're cheaper now than they ever have been. But, I don't think you're going to see a price drop for the sake of it.
Well, Apple's, I think they're feeling the heat. I think they know people are pissed, and this is a reaction to that. I mean, if they do end up releasing new hardware like 6 months after they have released the MacBook Pro, that is a strange move for Apple. Would you guys agree to that? Like, that's a strange move for a MacBook
Pro. It'd be 8 months because the machines came out. I think they were announced in October of last year. So it's
and they were late, yeah, weren't they?
Yeah, and they were late, and that was new hardware. And this is no new design or anything, strictly internals. I don't think there's going to be any price drops.
Yeah, but a spec bump after 8 months? That's weird.
That's not bad, though. Like, again, like I was saying, everybody complains that Apple doesn't stay up to date on the machines. Like, usually we're having to wait 2 years for a new, internal upgrade, right, which is very sad. Same thing with the Mac Pro. They need to be coming out with spec bumps every 8 months to 12 at the latest.
At least once a year. At least once a year.
This is just fine and dandy, thank you.
Yeah, so and I'm not complaining. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy to see them do this, but if you had just bought a MacBook Pro in the last 2 or 3 months especially, you're going to shed a couple tears. You're going to shed a couple tears.
Maybe,
but
you still have an awesome machine. Like, that's why I don't get, like, it's like if you go and buy an iPhone 7 right now, you know that Apple's always going to come. There's always going to be something on the horizon that's better. So I think if you're always worrying, oh my God, is this going to be obsolete in 4 months or something like that, you're just never going to pull the trigger on anything. Right.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that a lot of people really think like that way.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they go and get the machine they need, and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always looking, forward to see what's coming down the pike. Although, some obviously there's
do.
Some do. And actually, I think there's quite a lot of people that do that.
Especially people that listen to this show. They obsess. Yeah,
right.
They're
Apple obsessive for sure, I think.
Like, you do want to catch the wave. Like I get what you're saying. Like, oh, a new machine's going to come out in 3 months. If I could just wait a little bit longer for it, it's going to last even longer. But the tech that's for sale now is going to last pretty much just as long as the tech that's going to be for sale in 4 months.
I think this is probably the number one question that I get from people always about Apple stuff should I buy this gadget now or should I wait? That's always what you hear people ask about Apple's various products. And that's why I always tell people, if you want a new MacBook Pro or virtually any Apple product, the best time to buy it is right when it comes out, in my opinion. Because then you get the most amount of time, you get the most amount of value for your money. And to Buster's point where he's like, yeah, you still get a great computer. I mean, that's all true, but it sucks. Everyone knows it sucks. It's like when you buy something and 3 months later they update it, or a month later they update it, and you're like, ah, bollocks. just bought this, and they just came out with something better. I mean,
the flip side of that is that they tend to have a long, they have a much longer life than PCs. I think that's definitely true in the PC world. In Apple's a Mac, if you buy a MacBook Pro, I mean, that's going to last you for 5 years, maybe
even longer.
Longer.
Yeah, I still have a friend who's using like a 2009 white MacBook that's still humming just fine,
Yeah. And the iPads, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm still using my 2013 MacBook Pro. That's what
God, how are you even suffering through
that? I know,
that?
I shouldn't even... I'm going to edit that part out. I can't have our listeners knowing that.
Embarrassing.
I'm just
going to
put a big, long bleep in there. Well, let me at least talk a little bit about CPUs for just a moment, if you would just let me geek out for a moment here, and some of you may enjoy this. I think it's important to note, one of the big issues with MacBooks in general is that they haven't really gotten faster over the years. At least that's been a problem that I've had with them. And so the upgrades don't really feel that significant. And Apple seems to be concentrating more on like upgrading the I/O, like they did with this last MacBook Pro, where they moved everything to USB-C, which I think was a huge mistake. But I'm not going to backtrack any more than I already have. But It's not all Apple's fault. I was reading this article. Don't even ask me how I wound up here on PC World. And they were talking about how in the last several years, chip makers, and really there's only two, there's AMD and there's Intel, have been focused on increasing performance by raising clock frequency, which doesn't really do a whole lot. It just boosts it a little bit. But then they turned their focus to adding more cores, which also, you know, increased processing power, but not dramatically. And then they moved entirely to integrating technologies like graphics. You know, like all Intel's integrated graphics are all standard now. That didn't used to be a case. The case, you used to have to buy a GPU in order to have graphics with a PC or a computer. And then they moved to like different I/O, like, you know, Thunderbolt and USB-C and all that stuff. So the iterations of the chips over the last several years really haven't been getting that much more powerful. And it puts Apple in a weird position because they're relying on Intel to release these more and more powerful CPUs. And Intel's just not been doing that. So Apple ends up having to use whatever Intel has. And that has been changing over the last year, especially because of esports. So playing video games professionally, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, has really taken off in the last year, and people are streaming more and more on Twitch. And it has caused a huge demand for high-performance CPUs. And you just had AMD release their Ryzen series of chips, which were way faster and way more powerful than anyone expected. Like, AMD has always released budget chips that were the things that you bought if Intel was too expensive for you. And these new chips boast a 40% performance improvement over their previous chips. And everyone all of a sudden is looking at AMD thinking, wow, this is actually like a serious competitor to Intel. And Intel, for the first time in a long time, is having actual competition. And so this may work very well in our favor because Intel is now starting to produce chips that are significantly faster than the previous generation. So all that to say, it hasn't been totally Apple's fault, and we may start seeing some significant CPU improvements in Macs going forward. I certainly hope that's going to be the case because I've heard a lot of people say, oh, the Mac is fast enough. And that's never true, in my opinion. You always need more horsepower.
What happened to rumors that Apple's moving to AMD, you know, was quoting AMD?
AMD or ARM, weren't they? There's always been that rumor, years, though.
I kind of wonder if Apple is seriously considering, and this is just me, you know, thinking out loud here, about designing their own chips. Because they have been so attached to Intel, and their success depends so significantly upon Intel's success to innovate in the CPUs. And, you know, Apple is a bigger company than Intel. Why not just design their own chips? They could start their own spin-off company and just make chips for Apple products.
Yeah, but then I don't know. They're doing that for the iPhones and iPads, you know, on the mobile side, but that's a big business to be running for a relatively small number of, you know, units, right? I mean, the number of Macs they sell is a drop in the bucket compared to the number of iPhones.
I guess that's actually a good point, yeah. Was it like 10% of their actual revenue comes from Macs? That's it.
Yeah.
And two-thirds of their revenue comes from the iPhone. Two-thirds.
But the iPhone revenue is dependent on the Mac because developers create apps for iPhone on the Mac. So I still think like it should not be overlooked. Like it should be kind of looked as like the tool that makes the iOS ecosystem churn, you know?
And influencers have the Mac, right? I mean, when you see people that are cool out and about making stuff on a Mac, it helps Apple's brand identity, and it makes them a cooler brand, I think. You don't want to see Will I Am. I mean, imagine Will I Am on a Dell.
Oh,
one of the greatest artists of our time.
I would expect him to be using.
And him and Fergie are recording the sickest beats man has ever heard. On a Dell? I don't think so.
Very true.
Do you guys remember when we saw him at CES, Buster, and he was wearing that like super angular sport coat, but the zipper was on the back?
Was that the time when he came into like the press lounge and everything at CES and he was chilling there? Yeah. And
then
there
was
That other time that we saw him at Macworld too, don't forget that when we sat through an interview with him.
I have completely wiped that from my memory banks. I don't recall this in any capacity.
You don't remember that? Oh, okay.
Really? Did we go to this together?
Yeah, yeah. We sat through an interview. It was like him talking with like the some, or maybe it was CES. It was him talking with some guy from Intel about the future of computing and technology and stuff like that. It was.
I think I'm shocked that I forgot it.
Yeah. I don't think we learned a valuable thing there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he was dropping all sorts of wisdom. I'm ashamed to say that I can't remember. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this Apple standalone Siri speaker. We got some more information from our pal, everyone's favorite Apple analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo. He said in a note to clients over the weekend that the Siri home speaker will, in fact, feature a touch panel. This is something that we talked a little bit about last week, I think. And it will be somewhat similar in form factor to the Amazon Echo Show, that new Echo speaker that they have going on. And he said he's not sure whether or not it's going to be a full-on touchscreen or a simpler touch-based interface or some sort of a touchscreen like that. But good news, in my opinion. Don't you think, Leander? I mean, didn't Phil Schiller say recently like there's very limited use cases for like a speaker like this to not have a screen? He had like an interview in India or something, and he was saying that. And I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Like, you would want to like interact with something with a screen, I think.
I think so, yeah. I can't see how it would detract from it. I mean, especially when it's, you know, it's going to be shit when you're showing lyrics, when you're doing karaoke.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's
like, too often.
That's what's going to happen in the Caney house, huh? All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's lots of interesting ways you could use it, you know. I mean, you know, for, like you said, shopping, there's a million and one things that you could use it for. Where it would, you know, augment it. It would supplement it really nicely.
I think so, too. If they release this at, geez, if they do a MacBook Pro and a new Amazon, or I keep calling it Amazon, if they do a new Siri smart speaker, it's going to be an expensive WWDC.
If it looks like, could it be any uglier, though, than, how are they going to, I was looking at Amazon's, you know, their show product, and it's so ugly. I mean,
dude,
it really.
It's so bad.
Couldn't be uglier, and I was trying to imagine what an Apple one would look like. How could Johnny Ive make it look more attractive? You know.
Well, I mean, the edges will be chamfered for one thing.
Yeah, true.
That's going to add a lot of class to it. But
yeah, if you're going to get a couple of speakers in there that sound good, you know, it's got to be kind of bulkier. It's got to have some bulk to it. It can't be flat and sexy and slim. So it's got to be some, you know, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of shape they do. I can't believe they're going to do a trash can. Do you think it's going to look like a trash can?
It's certainly a good-looking shape.
I don't know, is it?
I don't know.
I think so, yeah. You guys don't think the trash can looks good? I mean, the renders that I saw with, like the mesh outer material with the screen on top, I thought that looked really nice.
Screen on top, but then you're going to have to go over and look onto the top of
Every time I just meant the render that I saw. It definitely shouldn't have a screen on the top. That would be horrible.
Yeah, they're all really ugly. I mean, if you look at all the speakers on the market, they're all ugly. I mean, is there one that's good looking?
Like a smart speaker, you mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, like the Google Home is like it's a ridiculous like blob. It looks like a little pear shaped. You know, that pear shape just is not good looking.
Bad.
I think it's ugly as heck.
No, it's not that bad. I mean, the Echo. You don't think the Echo looks good? I have a white Echo, and it's gorgeous. And it has like the mesh all around it. I think it looks really nice. Anyway, I'm sure Johnny Ive will come up with something really beautiful to present to us. Let's see here. We're running a little bit long.
I don't. Did we talk about that Apple created the fund at all?
I don't think we ever even mentioned it.
Because I don't know. Okay. I do think it's important that Apple is. They've created a $1 billion advanced manufacturing fund to boost manufacturing jobs in the U.S., which is kind of, you know, one of the big things that Trump got elected on is bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. So I do think it's like an important move from Apple.
Well, like Buster said, we hadn't really talked about this before. It kind of got squeezed out of our other shows. But Apple is using $1 billion to set up a fund that they are going to use to promote manufacturing in the United States. And they have just decided to spend the first part of that fund. They're giving $200 million to Corning, who has worked on a lot of the glass that goes on the iPhone, you know, like on the front and stuff. And Apple's contribution to Corning will fund R&D capital equipment needs and state-of-the-art glass processing. This is kind of crazy if you think about it, though, right? Because they're just going to give Corning $200 million. They're not buying a product from Corning. They're giving Corning $200 million and saying, use this to make your business better.
Well, and they're one of Apple's most important U.S.-based suppliers, too. And considering Apple's problems with Crystal Sapphire Glass or whatever it was, their old supplier, I wonder if part of that is, like, you know, kind of hoping that they'll do stuff like that. I bet is what they're hoping, is that Corning will pour that into making way better glass and stuff for iPhones and other products.
Dude, Sapphire Glass, how embarrassing. What a boondoggle that was. We talked about Sapphire Glass for months.
Yeah.
For months we talked about it. And then all of a sudden they just went out of business and that was it. I was like, all right, that's done.
You know, but there's clear parallels here, right? I mean, you know, wasn't Apple's investment in GT Advanced, what was it called? GT Advanced Technologies. That was like about $1 billion, wasn't it? In that Sapphire plant in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they dumped a bunch of money into them.
Right. And, you know, it didn't work out and GT is now bankrupt. And then, you know, like giving Corning $200 million, just giving it to them. Oh, here you go.
It's
you know.
Strange, isn't it? I mean, $200 million.
Yeah, Corning, I thought that Corning, couldn't they get a loan for $200 million? They're a pretty successful company, right?
Right. And weren't they doing okay, you know, like so far? I mean, they've come out with several different enhancements to the Gorilla Glass over the years.
Right. I was surprised about that, like that the first partner is Corning, because I mean it's a very obvious partner. So I thought they would probably be investing in like smaller companies, you know, like,
right?
Companies that like do a lot of CNC type of stuff, because that's what Apple does.
I don't know. like you said, I think you know, like it has a lot of political overtones. I think you know, it makes for a good press release, and that you know seems to me why they're doing it. $200 million isn't really a lot of money.
No, it's nothing for Apple.
And, you know, I think Corning's always made a big deal about having its plant in Kentucky. Although I think a lot of the manufacturing is actually overseas in China, isn't it?
Jeez. You know, really?
Yeah, because that's where the products are made. I mean, you know, they have plants in China.
Yeah.
Because they have to. It has to be close to, you know, the assembly plant. So it was really kind of odd, you know, like I thought the and then, you know, Apple making a big deal about it too, you know. Normally I'm sure they invest and they buy companies all the time and usually it's very quiet. You know, they keep that stuff all very, very, very under, you know, hush-hush and under wraps.
Yeah, I definitely think it was all created just to make the Donald happy.
Yeah.
To make the Donald happy. It does also make them look good. There's a lot of people who are passionate about, you know, making more stuff in the U.S. So it does. It looks good on a press release. And, you know, $1 billion is a lot of money. They could have tossed, you know, $20 million here, $40 million there, and gotten a good press release, I think. I mean, this seems like a significant investment. And if you think about the fact that almost all of Apple's products include some type of glass, it might be a smart investment for Apple, because they clearly need a better panel to protect, like, their iPhone and their iPad and maybe even, like, their MacBook Pros in the future. Who knows? So it's also going to benefit them in some way if that money is being used purely for R&D. I mean, Corning is a big company, but they don't have the resources that Apple has. And I'm sure any company would love $200 million just for R&D and to buy new, you know, equipment to make better products. So it's cool to see Apple do this. They've got $800 million left to spend. And I thought the really funny part was, is that this $1 billion that Apple is spending, they actually borrowed that money. So Apple was borrowing it and then giving it away to other companies, because they said borrowing it was cheaper than paying the money it would need to pay to repatriate its foreign stockpile of cash. So they probably borrowed this from Bank of America. They're giving it to Corning, which is also weird. Funny.
They must have a couple of billion tucked away here in the U.S.
You would think just within the couch cushions they could come up with a bill, right?
Right.
Just within Tim Cook's couch cushions, there's got to be a bill in there somewhere.
And they could pass the hat, you know. I'm sure they'd rustle up a billion or two.
Yeah.
But it's funny, it is, you know, the rates are so low for borrowing that it is cheaper to borrow money, isn't it, than spend your own.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. I mean, they got over $200 billion. What's the number now? 230 or $240 billion?
50, I think. Like, it's 250, yeah. 260.
They're borrowing $1 billion. They probably had to take a mortgage out on Johnny Ive's V-neck collection, which is probably worth a little bit more than $1 billion. Okay, let's move on to the last segment here. This is the Apple Park originally looked like a penis and five other wild facts you didn't know about Apple Park. And let's just go from start to finish here at Buster. So first, tell me about the high-tech pizza boxes. I couldn't really understand what this meant. Like, Apple, like, patented a pizza box or something for the cafeteria or something?
They created their own custom pizza box. It's made out of one sheet of material, all circular. And it's special. It's got some holes on the top that let the steam out. It's got some ridges on the bottom.
It's a huge breakthrough.
Yeah. It keeps the crust fresh, not soggy.
If you were wondering what Johnny I has been doing with his time over the last 6 months, I think we just found out. His new passion is food packaging. He's working on the Hungry Man boxes next. Yeah. So this is totally preposterous. Why would they need to redesign a pizza box? Why not just buy pizza
Apple
boxes?
Apple didn't need to, but they did it. Okay,
touche.
That's how dedicated they are to all the details. His custom pizza boxes that can be
stacked on top
of each
other. All. They didn't want to just buy pizza boxes. They had to design their own to let the steam out to keep the pizza crust fresh and hot at the Apple Cafe.
Well, that was the under undercurrent of that whole story, that where Stephen Levy, I mean, we didn't actually explain it to you, but Stephen Levy, the longtime tech journalist and a former friend of Steve Jobs, got a private tour. What appears to be a private tour. He didn't actually mention any other journalists, although I'm sure, you know, maybe there's some other there, of the new Apple Park, and he was talking about all the details. His mind was obviously boggled by the attention, the crazy attention to detail, all the things they pointed out to him, handles.
The stairwell banisters, I think one thing I saw, like, he said nothing is, like, mounted on, like, stairway banisters are, like, built into the walls or something like that. Door handles are built into the door, so nothing's just like tacked on thoughtlessly.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's not like traditional. Everything is non-traditional construction techniques.
It just makes this is the kind of stuff that really makes Apple endearing. Is that they put so much focus into these trivial things that really shouldn't matter, but they matter.
They do matter, yeah. Because I mean, that was Johnny Ive's argument, that it's the details matter. That, you know, if you're going to care, you should really care.
Yeah.
And the caring is in the details. But he mentioned, you know, Levy mentioned in the piece that it was like, you know, what did he say? It was just sort of self-indulgence gone mad. At one point, he wondered whether it was self-indulgence gone mad. You know, that they've got all this money, all these resources, and they're just, you know, it's like a little bit crazy.
Because one thing that he did say at the end that I thought was pretty kind of profound in some ways is, you know, Apple's building this super awesome corporate headquarters where they hope, like, all of these awesome people will commingle more and, like, better ideas and products will be inspired because of it. But then, you know, like, the Macintosh or the Apple One was created in a garage, and all kinds of, like, revolutionary products were created in crappy places, you know.
Yeah.
So
right, yeah, yeah. The, you know, Apple's HQ, the current HQ is
just
is certain
fine for
quite
the
well.
iPhone. Yeah.
Well, that was the oddest part about the story, and you know, like, because he talked about the pods and about how it's kind of open plan and about how it was, you know, it was a lot of it was conceived by Steve Jobs, and he was very much involved in the planning of Pixar's campus. And, you know, remember he got heat when Pixar opened its campus in Emeryville because there was only two bathrooms, and they were sort of like in the main atrium. So there was, and Jobs eventually went, and there was a lot of criticism at the time because people didn't really, you know, the thinking behind it wasn't explained. And I think it only became clear later that Jobs said that he wanted people to run into each other. He didn't want people isolated. You know, he didn't want them sitting around, you know, going and sitting with their teams and only talking to the same people. He wanted to be able to create these interactions, you know, have people run into each other in the corridors. And he's talked about this quite a lot. You know, like, I've seen quite a lot of quotes about Steve Jobs talking about, you know, the sort of serendipity of talking to different people and getting ideas and getting innovation from, you know, human interaction. And the worst thing in his mind was having people isolated and sitting on their own and talking to their own teams. And yet, you know, this is a complete contradiction to the way that we've heard that Apple works. You know, you're like, you're not allowed to talk about your work to anybody except your direct co-workers. Like, you know, I've heard this from loads and loads of people who work at Apple, right? They just do not talk about their work, even if they know someone else who works at Apple and they've known them, you know, for years. If they're on a different team, they don't talk about what their team is doing. So this whole idea of having this kind of open plan office, you know, with these pods and trying to create a space where these interactions could happen, is completely antithetical to what, you know, I understand about the way Apple works, which is, in, you know, this complete nut of secrecy about everything they do at work. I mean, you know, is there going to be a cultural change? Are they, is Tim Cook going to try and start to get people open up to try to talk about their work more with their colleagues so that they get these, you know, these conversations going that might lead to innovation? It's, you know, these were the biggest questions I thought in the piece that weren't answered at all.
Well, that would work great for us too, because we get leaks galore if that were the case. Leak, you know, like people are just walking around like in a beehive, and you can just hear people talking about top secret projects in the pod next door.
Right.
Right. I mean, yeah. We're going to get so many leaks. Everyone's going to know everything that Apple's doing. It's going to be impossible to keep things a secret.
Well, he said that, you know, the one part that is still shrouded in secrecy was Johnny Ive's design studio, which, you know, as we all know, is the idea factory at Apple and has long been. You know, the sort of off limits to you know, to everyone at Apple. Even the old CEO was locked out. Like Scully couldn't get in. His badge wouldn't open up the door, and he was like completely. Like,
that was probably a good idea.
Dumbfounded about that. But you know, so I don't know. It and the idea of these pods as well. Like, how do these pods work? And this sort of flat hierarchy, because I know that Jobs was a big admirer of HP, Hewlett-Packard, and they were the mm-hmm. ones, they were the sort of the original Silicon Valley, like big tech company, and it was run by engineers, and it was very egalitarian, and they very much rejected the idea of private offices and you know, these sort of other ways of keeping the management away from, you know, from the workers. They had open plan offices like, you know, Hewlett and Packard. They sat at a table, ate lunch with, you know, all the with the HP rank and file. You know, it was very flat organization. I know that Jobs was very much a big advocate of that.
We have got to get into this place. When they yeah. actually open this place up, if there's anyone listening that works at Apple, I know there's some of you out there, that could get us in for a tour. We will make a mecca there. We will come. We will tour. We will hang out. We will drink and be merry. We will toss in one free London handshake from Mr. L. Caney himself.
A what?
Which London handshake. Oh, we'll have to get a few beers at him first, but that shouldn't be a problem. But we got to go down there. We got to go down there and tour this place once it's finished. I mean, wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah. It was funny they prototyped as well. There was a whole bunch of interesting stuff, right, Buster, in that piece. You know, remember they had a... There's a cafe they opened up. It was actually they did this a few years ago. I mean, this was like a good 4 or 5 years ago. They opened up another cafe and with a wellness center a few blocks away from the main campus. And you know, there was a few pictures at the time. There was a few reports about it, and it was you know, it didn't get that much attention, but it got some attention. And it's interesting to find out now that was actually a prototype for. The you know, for this new spaceship campus, that's really interesting, because they did this, of course, with their stores. You know, they prototyped the stores before they opened them. They you know, they prototyped even still, you know, like huge stuff. Like
they said, they prototyped like the tunnel that they built for the parking lots and stuff. They prototyped that to get signed off before the construction company could actually build it.
Yeah, with some white tiles, right?
Yeah,
it was lined with a white tile, like a bathroom.
Yeah. Another weird detail was like they have dental services and I want to say like a doctor or something like that in the wellness center. But nice. Then they also don't have like people were complaining they have that, but they don't have like daycare for moms
daycare.
And stuff.
Yeah, right.
Here's another wacky one. Steve Jobs knew his wood. Stephen Bailing, a foster partner who became one of the project leads, recalls Steve Jobs talking about what he wanted individual work pods to look like. Steve Jobs had a vision that was so precise. He knew everything down to the specific type of wood that should be used. And I'm quoting here, he knew exactly what timber he wanted, not just like, I like oak or I like maple. He knew it had to be quarter cut. He knew it had to be cut in the winter, ideally in January.
That one was really bonkers. Yeah. Who the heck would absolutely know that?
To have the least amount of sap and sugar content. Well, that's wily, under duh. We were all sitting there, architects with gray hair, going, holy s***. I mean, who knew? This is the first time I've ever even heard of such a thing. Like, there's a certain time to cut wood so that it will be the most ideal for using it in furniture.
You got
to
have the least sap content, you know, in the good word, wood.
Yeah, I guess so. Even the stone was special. Steve Jobs wanted the stone on the exterior of the fitness and wellness center to look like the slabs of his favorite hotel in Yosemite. To pull off that look, Apple sourced stone from a special quarry in Kansas and then had it distressed just like you would a pair of jeans to make it look more rustic. My goodness, this is what happens when you have just an infinite amount of money, right? <Yeah. laughs> He's like a sultan. There's just nothing that is too extravagant to do here. And then the final fact, and I'm sure what will be our favorite fact of all, Buster.
It looked like a penis. Originally.
Well, it was supposed to look like a giant schlong.
I love that Steve Jobs' son is the one that corrected this.
Thank God for Reed Jobs. Reed Jobs saved us all from a giant schlong-looking Apple campus that no one would have realized looked like a schlong until a helicopter flew over to tour it, at which point it would have been too late to stop. So as the story goes, after Steve Jobs showed Reed a drawing of the clover-shaped design, which is what Steve Jobs wanted it to look like, a bloated clover leaf with a stem, I'm supposing. Steve Jobs' son Reed commented that the building would make it look like a big genitalia with hair. Oh, from the air. Sorry,
not
from the
with
air.
Hair.
From the air. Oh, you should always run your architectural plans past a teenage male. Because they'll always be spot on. They'll be able to tell you if it looks like a schlong or not. Steve Jobs relied on the observation relayed the observation to the architects the next day, warning them, you're never going to be able to erase that vision from your mind. And the rest, as they say, is history. They went with a safer shape. They made it look like a circle, right? Well, mm-hmm. How, a circle can be can't really be offensive in any way, I guess. But it would have been amazing, actually, to have it. I've kept its original.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want to go there. I'm sure there's ways to imagine. And
yeah. I'm sure somebody's going to make it offensive at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Grow up, people. My gosh. Okay. Well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Clovercast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to share your clover-shaped sketches with us on Twitter, we would love to see those. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, Busters, B-S-T-3-R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, can you give me a boisterous Zeus?
Next time.
Lightning bolt sound effect.
Yeah, I was just saying, I put some thunder for sure. Yeah, I really want to see the drawings of that. They got to have them somewhere, right?
There was like some one of the Foster Partners guys showed like in that article there was like some like rough sketches of like the clover shape design and stuff. I don't know how he got a penis really... from it.
Oh, really?
It must have been more pronounced, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there was one longer wing. And I'm sure it wouldn't have been just a kid, you know, like if it were more pronounced, surely someone else would have noticed it. I mean, it wasn't just a kid. That sketch is really weird. Do you really think that was that you know, like the working drawings for how they came up with the circle shape? Do you think, or was it something they did after the effect?
Seemed
sort of
like
justify
a
it?
Yeah, kind of like a his interpretation of like kind of how it flowed.
This thing. totally looks like a dong. Are you guys kidding me?
You think so?
It doesn't. It looks exactly like a dong.
It does not.
It does too.
No, it's,
it looks exactly like a dong with two big bollocks hanging off the side.
It does not. It looks like a propeller or something.
I'm going to send you the picture. Wired has it on their website. I'm going to put this in the Slack right now. Tell me this.
I've seen it. It doesn't. I'm looking at it now. It doesn't. It looks totally innocent.
Oh, yeah. Completely
that
innocent.
That does look like a dong. Yeah.
Does that? I mean, if you were to draw a dong on a bathroom wall, that is what you would draw.
Not really. Only because it depends on, like, from the direction you're looking at it. So, like, one of them looks like, yeah, way... Like, the one closest to you looks longer than it actually is. So it does.
I see. Okay, I was
like
looking at the sketch. Yeah, I didn't
see
this.
Yeah, I was thinking
render.
Of the sketch. I hadn't seen this rendering. That rendering does look like a... That would have been awesome, though.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
They must have
I was in the pool!
They must have taken this photograph in the winter.